Sometimes you think you can't be vulnerable with people you love.
But you realize that being vulnerable is how you love people.
This is the Wayward Podcast.
Hi, Brianna Buckmaster.
Hi, Kim Rose.
And hi, Sam Smith.
Our very special guest, Sam Smith.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Yay. Hi, we have Sam Smith here, and we have the Peebles here. Hi, Peebles.
We are recording live from San Francisco, California, where it is surprisingly freezing cold.
Yeah.
Inside and out. As a Canadian, I am very shocked by that.
We have blankets, though.
We do have blankets.
Liz hooked us up with blankets.
Always got the blankets.
So thank you.
Big score.
Big score. And we are, as we have done, we've polled our audience with yes, no questions. Mm-hmm. And today, we are addressing the question here on Wayward Podcast. Is there a reason that it is easier to be vulnerable with strangers than it is people you know?
I think it's funny that we were attracted to this question because I imagine all three of us, in my experience from being on panel with you two, that we are actually quite vulnerable on panel, on stage, in front of hundreds of strangers. It is quite easy for us to do that, and I imagine for some people it's not. I imagine that's why some people are like, conventions are not for me. Because they do kind of require you to show your insides a little bit.
Or they're simply not vulnerable.
Yes.
But I also think that, am I allowed to chime in here?
Oh, yes, please. Make sure that you speak straight into this, because I'm going to have to edit everything together. And if you're much quieter than Brianna and I, then I have to do shit with the blippy blips that is unholy and generally ineffective.
So it's not a challenge.
That's perfect.
Okay. It's not. Yeah, that's perfect.
I was going to say there's also a very big difference to being vulnerable with one stranger than a room full of strangers.
What, do you think it's easier with one stranger than a room full?
Yes.
Oh, I think the opposite.
Well, because it's impersonal? Well, with the room full, we can't see them. But if we could, maybe that would be different. But I think it's the same idea. There's a separation when it's a stranger, whether it's one or whether it's... You don't know them. They don't know you.
I feel similar to this. Like, so when I was growing up, I loved to sing, right? I still love to sing. But when I was growing up, I grew up in a small farm town. And so little kids that had the ability to sing is insane. It's like, you should be a star. And it's not the reality. Although, look at me now. When you're at, you know, Christmas dinner and grandma goes, oh, why don't you stand up there and sing a song for everyone? No fucking way. There is no way that I could sing in front of a room of five family members. But you put me in a room like this in front of hundreds of people, piece of cake, you know? And I feel like that there's something about the kind of dancing for grandma scenario that relates back to being vulnerable to people you're closest to that sometimes makes me more nervous.
I'm really pulling this apart in my little brain, so I apologize preemptively for the rabbit hole I'm about to go down. When I am I believe that everything I do is an attempt to meet a need of my own. Like, on some level, everything I do is either an educated or misguided attempt to meet a need. Now, when I engage with a stranger, my need is to connect. My need is to, and one of the fastest ways I connect is by being vulnerable, is by saying, I will show you mine if you show me yours.
Right.
Don't do this in supermarkets, though. Also, because I am not programmed to understand the social niceties, to understand that small talk is how people connect. It's like dipping your toe in the water of you, is that I start small and then I work my way up. I can't do that.
Right.
I'm like, bleh, here's who I am. But it serves the need of connection. when I'm communicating with people I already have connection with, the need is different. My need is worth. My need is validation. My need becomes about, I'm going to behave in a way that you approve of, mm-hmm. because connection has already been established. So it's a completely different need that I have. So it's easier to be vulnerable with somebody because I don't actually need their approval before I've ever had their connection. I don't even know if I want their right. approval.
So it's easier for you to be vulnerable with strangers.
It's easier because it's different. I'm not doing it to be approved of. I'm doing it to connect. And if I were doing that with people I already know about, what if they judge me?
That's right.
What if they don't like me? What if they reject me? What if they, that will affect me because it will sever connection that I've already made. It's like a hierarchy to me. Like the very bottom is acknowledging existence. That's the first part, is like you exist, which is why I feel like existing in social media is hard to be vulnerable, because you don't really know that other people exist. You see their words or you see their things, but it's
very
hard. Or
that's why it's easier to be vulnerable on social media.
I don't think it's easier to be vulnerable on social, well, because there's no connection.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, yes, so vulnerability at the first level is to establish connection. Mm-hmm. But then once connection is established, the next level is vulnerability to improve communication or to offer something, and now rejection is an option. But with a stranger, like, rejection isn't really an option. You can be vulnerable, and they can be like, fuck you, and I can go, no, fuck you, and then we're done.
I don't know. I still get pretty fucked up by rejection from strangers sometimes, you know?
From vulnerability?
I mean, yeah, aren't we always being vulnerable a little bit? Like, I guess that's like the level of vulnerability of going, if I go to a stranger, that's such a beautiful dress. Where did you get it? And they're like, fuck you, you know? And I'd be like, oh, I just was trying to have a connection and I felt rejected. I think that would fuck me up a little bit.
I think that the nature of our work, mm-hmm. is vulnerability. You're putting your art into the world, to a world of strangers. And it hurts if you're rejected or given, you know, poor reviews. But on a much more micro level, have you ever tried to audition with someone that you know versus a stranger?
Like as a reader?
Yeah, you work with a friend who you don't know super well, but you know, and like you're like, oh my God, I have to act in front of this person now. It's really weird. Sure. As opposed to going and reading with a casting director who you may know, but only on a professional level.
On that level, yeah.
And it's way harder, like singing in front of grandma. Like you're like, oh, I don't like this. But it's just scary for some reason. And I think as far as being the vulnerability that I was thinking of is when you share something that's really like a big thing, not just like, oh, I think you're really, you know, pretty or really handsome or something. Like you're giving someone a compliment and putting yourself in like a weaker position, or it's more like, how are you? Like, oh my God, this horrible thing just happened. I just found out I'm ill, or my dad just passed away, or something really horrible that's really happening to you. And my thought was that by sharing it with a stranger, that is all they know of you. That is it. So that is how they see you, and they can address that one thing. They don't know the rest of you. They don't know the parameters or the circumstance, and they can deal with you just on that level. And that need is met. Whereas if you bring that to someone that knows you, they know all of it in context, and it's maybe too heavy for someone. It may be too much because they have to support you along with that vulnerable issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you say it to a stranger, you're like, thanks for holding that for me.
Yeah, but you're not actually giving them the elephant that is attached to it.
Correct.
Whereas, like a therapist, kind of. Yeah. They're almost like a third party.
When you're connected. Now, I want to back up a second because I realize sometimes this happens with Brianna and I. We may all be talking about different things and using the same word. So what would you consider vulnerability? And what are like, now I know you, and I know that you just used instances that are real. Of moments of vulnerability. There's also things that I do that people think is vulnerable that I wouldn't consider vulnerable. I'm like, no, I'm actually impervious in that area. So what do you think vulnerability is?
I think that there are levels of it, but at its very most common, at its smallest level, it's connection. And so that's why I think why I was talking about being vulnerable. For me, as someone, I remember once when I was in college telling a friend, and this is so me in a nutshell, which you probably know better than anybody, is that I said, I don't ever want anybody to see me cry. I just don't ever want anybody to see me cry. I want always to be seen and thought of as a rock. And my girlfriend at the time, who was older, I think I must have been 18 or 19, and she was 26, she was like, well, that's just the silliest thing I've ever heard, you know, in a very gentle way. She was like, no, no, no. And I was so young and I was very, you know, I think I was bullied a lot when I was younger. And most of my childhood, I was bullied for, you know, childhood obesity. And I was like, once I survived that, I was like, I'm going to be impenetrable. No one's going to get to me. So vulnerability wasn't something that you seek. That was kind of a weakness, right? And so I was like, I'm going to be a rock. I want to be seen as a rock. I want everybody to go, Brianna, the girl's a rock. You can't get to her. And she was like, I know where you're coming from, but she was kind of gently going, that's not something to make a goal in life, to want to achieve. So I guess when I say vulnerability now, it can be as little as, less so now. I think I've done enough work to go, I'm not as affected by every single creature that walks this planet. But if I was to give any kind of offering to anybody, I think I'm a pretty sunny, charming person. If they didn't receive me in that way, I'd be like, I was just being vulnerable with you. Even if it was just, may I hold the door for you? You know, I think that I am pretty sensitive to how I come across to others. So at the very base, I think vulnerability is just being open to a connection. But it might just be that vulnerability to me is actually how I perceive it as just weakness. I might still have that belief. And even though I do believe vulnerability is a strength in my brain, but in my body, I might still be like, don't do it. Do it, but don't do it.
Yeah.
How about you?
It's interesting that you brought up that point because to me, that isn't being vulnerable. That is being open to connection, but that's not vulnerability to me. That's like, if they say no, I'm like, rude, and, you know, move on. Vulnerability to me is opening a private, personal portal of varying sizes or depths to someone where they can now see a piece of me that is not part of my everyday public persona. And if I reached out to someone and in a casual openness and they rejected it, I'd be like, okay. And of course I'm sensitive. It may be like, what did I do? And I'll immediately be like, to go through all the stuff, like, what did I do wrong? And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, probably nothing. Okay.
That's a very healthy thing to do.
To go through and make sure.
To go through and be like, no, I'm good.
Right. And it's taken a long time to get to that.
I think a lot of people are not there yet.
Right.
Which is good for you.
Vulnerability to me is talking about something that makes me emotional or that does show actual weakness, which is something I can't do, something I can't handle, something that I am holding that is too heavy for me and needing help. That's vulnerability to me. And it's hard to be vulnerable. It's really hard. You know, in the olden days, you'd get cut out of the pack if you were vulnerable. So, of course, it's something we innately hide.
And I think, to your point, where, you know, you were saying the connection is just making a connection, I think because of our past experiences or my past experiences, being attempting to make a connection inevitably ended up with people finding a chink in my armor. And so they were like, to me, being vulnerable was a lack of armor.
Mm-hmm. Unsafe.
That's how I would define it. I would define vulnerability as accessibility, as like I am open to being impacted by the outside, be it a person, be it an experience, being whatever it is, I am making me available to be affected by whomever I'm being vulnerable to. But here's the thing, I understand, I absolutely see, and I used to have, I remember in fucking undergrad, I would get the note all the time, be vulnerable, be vulnerable, be vulnerable, and I'm like, I'm crying. Look, I mean, how many, do you want 3 tears out of this eye and 4 out of this one? I'm crying. How much more vulnerable could I be? Because I equated vulnerability with pain, not with authenticity. And what I am learning is that when I open myself up to the option of being hurt, I discover how much more impervious to pain I actually am. When I open up and I'm like, okay, here, it's one of my favorite paintings Sam got me, and it's called, I think it's called Taming Your Demons, and it's a picture of this girl in a little skirt and a ponytail, and she's holding all of these balloon strings, and she's just walking, she's kicking her foot out in front of her, and behind her on all of these balloon strings are these demons, just full, but they all are attached with a little bow around their neck. And I feel like that's what vulnerability teaches me, is that I go, okay, I'm gonna let you touch me, oh my God, I'm completely fine. And now I know something a little bit more about myself than I knew in the beginning, because ultimately that's my need, is that I already, if I sit by myself in a room, I'm never gonna be any bigger than I am already. I'm never gonna expand. But when I open myself up to being affected, like why would anybody want to be vulnerable, right? We get kicked out of the pack. We get mocked, we get hurt, we get blah, 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 blah. Ultimately, when I open myself up to being impacted by another person, I expand. They add to me. I become more me. And I can only do that through vulnerability. Because if I try to take and add to me, I'm closed off. The part of me that is expandable, the little balloon that is my soul, can only be breathed into when I'm vulnerable. That sounded very eloquent and fancy. That metaphor went all the way. I was like, wow, breathing into
back
a balloon,
to the balloon. Yes.
That is my soul. Fuck
me.
I should. And then I got distracted by what I was saying, and I forgot what my point was.
It's
so
like when you're building
sense.
Muscles, right? You, when you're trying to build your muscles, you break them and they come back bigger. But if you didn't break them, they would stay the same.
Yeah. And in this case, you don't even need, like, vulnerability isn't guaranteed breakage.
Right.
Because also there's nothing more magical than being like, there's my thing. And then someone going, oh my God, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I love
it. That's what both of you do for me, is that both of you have really been pivotal in my experience of being like,
are you sure you want it?
It's kind of shiny, but it breaks easily. Here, take it. and then people who are like, oh,
and me,
precious.
I just bounce it on the floor and I go, it doesn't actually break that easily. It's actually pretty solid.
It's solid. Well, yeah. By the time I get it back, it's solid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think vulnerability is an important tool to, because when I think of people who I would consider invulnerable, I don't think of strong people. Oh, I think of
so
frightened
true.
People.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing when I think about, so I'm going to, you know, do some sweeping, you know, generalities here. But I think a lot of men would consider being vulnerable a very scary thing and therefore a weakness. Not all, but many. And I was trying to wrap my head around that, around why so many men don't like being vulnerable in friendships and how, you know, I know that's a societal norm of, at least I will say, like, you know, lots of male friendships I have, they're vulnerable with me, but not necessarily with their other male friends. But I think that there is a stigma to vulnerability that it does create, like I've experienced, this kind of opportunity for wounding, when really vulnerability makes you impenetrable. Because then nobody can use anything against you.
It's like the first time I was ever naked on stage. Have you ever been naked in a play?
No, God, no.
Right? Same. I thought...
You know why? It's because when I worked in theater, it was a small industry.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, it's like having mom and dad watch me naked on stage.
I did a performance art piece. I did a performance art piece in undergrad. And I was naked. I had body paint on, but like in the 80s, that's saying something. And I remember being overwhelmed with this sense of power because I was more frightening. I was the one with nothing to lose. You couldn't get any more naked than I was in that moment. Excuse me. And all I was doing was reminding everybody else that they weren't naked, and naked is scary. So they were, I was like, oh my God, I'm the one in power here. And I feel like that's the same thing with vulnerability. Mm. When you are vulnerable, like the idea is somebody else is gonna get yours. Mm-hmm. They're gonna take advantage of it. But when they try and you discover that I'm responsible for my experience, I'm responsible for, like, I will let you impact me, but you can't kill me. Oh, who really has the power now then, huh? Mm-hmm. Like the person who is exposed and fearless. Because that's the other thing, right? It's like I only become fearless on the other side of fear.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So vulnerability is one of my biggest tools in my toolbox to moving into a fearless life. Is by acknowledging, like, I'm really scared of this and I choose to let it hurt me. And then when I survive and get on the other side of it, I'm like, huh, I'm not as scared of that anymore. How awesome. But if I just spend most of my life fighting it and going, fuck you, you're the enemy, I hate you,
scared of you.
It will always be scary.
Yeah.
Things are always scarier before you say them, admit them, experience them, to conquer them, whatever
always.
That it is. You're afraid of what that person's going to say. You're afraid of how you're going. That's going to go.
You're scared of getting bed bugs.
All of it. Of what?
Sorry, it's just me.
All of us. You were giving me a look when I was saying that, though.
Scared of getting
bed
bugs.
Giving me a look because you were realizing that you have to go potty, or did you have a thought?
No.
That. Neither. You were like, I was giving you the look of I just left for a hot second.
No, I was probably thinking about. I think when you said you're only fearless on the other side of fear. I think that is true, the more I thought about it, but I think for a moment I was like, no, because I am sometimes different than you, where you're be scared and do it anyway. I sometimes am like, be foolish and don't be scared. I run on foolishness. I'm constantly, people like to say I'm courageous, I'm not, I'm just dumb. And sometimes I hang on to that stupidity because it serves me, because in that lack of awareness is also a lack of fear.
But isn't that vulnerability?
What?
What you
lack
call
of awareness?
Foolishness is the acknowledgement that if I had more information, this might frighten me. I choose
no, because I
to
don't
allow, this.
Allow myself to have. I don't acknowledge that I need more information. That's the foolishness.
It's like willful ignorance. Of
yes, it's a bit. Huh. I don't know how deep this water is. Ah, well, and then jumping anyway. I do that a lot, right?
That's okay. Your friend over here is a human life preserver.
I know. Yeah, so that was, I think, the thought that I was having in that moment, which is not directly related to what we're talking about, but I do think it is possible to be fearless ahead of the thing.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah, no, but that's why we have these conversations.
That's right.
Because I'm like, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
I can't imagine looking at a thing and not being frightened of it. I mean, unless it's possibly a chinchilla.
See?
That fucking
and
chinchilla
that chinchilla,
is so cute.
I was like, is it going to scratch me? Is it going to bite me? It was very like, I don't know. We're just, it's the same but different.
What do you think, how do you think vulnerability serves you?
Hey!
Oh my God, that's perfect timing. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Cohen.
No, hold on, I thought.
Come sit down.
Look at
so
this
the question is,
bugger.
How does vulnerability serve you?
I want to apologize for coming out at that moment. I thought, let me come out at a really heavy moment to be funny, and it didn't feel funny.
No, they're all heavy.
Oh,
that's the
fine.
Funny thing about this podcast.
I would love you to answer that question.
But who did you ask that question to first? Was it Sam?
We've all just been riffing on it.
Yeah, okay.
Give it a go.
So how does?
And I would actually really love your perspective because I just made a sweeping generalization about how men are scared of vulnerability. Do you think that that's?
I think it's 100% true. I think society's kind of made it to be that way. That's how men are raised. They're supposed to be. I'm raising my son different. I'll happily tell you that my son will reserve his tears for mom and try to hold them in front of me, and I won't let him.
Oh, good.
We'll sit down when I see him, trying to keep it inside and trying to be tough for dads, which is so often what little boys do. I don't know if little girls do it.
Knowing that you would not have actively taught him that, is it just in the makeup, the genetic makeup?
Therapy has led me this way. My therapist says, when I started doing therapy, he said, when have you cried in your life? And I said, the first time I really remember crying, I was about 24 years old and I was in a casting room. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, my dad said, don't cry. You don't need to cry. You don't need to cry. And I never cried. I never cried my whole life. And wow. They said, how does acting help that? I go, now my job is to show my emotions. So for the first time in 25 years, I'm getting paid to express myself, to let it out. And I'm trying to do it in an honest way, which is a whole journey of self-discovery because I don't know what this honestly looks like.
Huh.
I don't know what it honestly looks like to break down. Now I know at 40 years old because I have a son. I've been in a marriage for 17 years. You learn what it looks like to break down. And so now when I do break down, I never hide it from my son. I show him how vulnerable it is. I tell him, I said, Dad messed up so bad today. He shouldn't have said this. He shouldn't have did that. He made a big mistake here. And guess what? I'll probably screw it all up again tomorrow. And I just show him, and he's honest about it.
So would you say that vulnerability for you is showing your truth?
Yeah, I think if you don't show your vulnerability, then you're living a lie. You have to be. I mean, for me personally, I want to take that back. I can't speak for anybody else's experience. I can speak for my own. I grew up as a tough kid. I come from a tough family. I was made to be tough. That's not my truth. My truth is I feel everything. I just spent a week with my grandma who has early onset Alzheimer's, and I asked her questions, and everything that she answered made me want me to pull my guts out and put them on the table because it was so. I was hearing a woman who is forgetting everything, every moment, just this fast. And just like 3 weeks ago, she was fine, completely fine. And now she's like, wait, I like you. You remind me again how you know my whatever, whatever. And you just, you know, the journey of life is nothing but this moment we have right now. And if you do anything else than appreciate this moment right now, then you're not living because we might not make it out of this room, right? And not to be morbid, but you just live your truth, be who you are and fuck it. It's just, who cares?
So back to, and this is the question on the table, is how does vulnerability serve you? Is it a necessary evil just to be a fucking human? Or does vulnerability actually serve a purpose? Now, I've already answered this question. You weren't here. It involved balloons and shit. I can't remember. I don't know, but it was really super fucking eloquent. I was struck by my own eloquence. So, yes, how does vulnerability serve you?
How does it serve me? So this is what, so Cole's notes of what I was talking to the group about, you know, earlier was that when I was younger, because I was bullied so heavily, that I really wanted to sell myself as impenetrable as an adult. I wanted to be impenetrable. I wanted to be a quote unquote rock to everybody who met me. And I had somebody in my life that was like, that's not actually a good thing. Not as good as you think it is. But vulnerability to me, is that 5 minutes left? Shit. Was, it meant weakness and an opportunity for people to get to me. And I didn't want that to happen. And now as I'm older, I realize vulnerability is an opportunity for people to truly see you. And if people can't truly see you, they can't truly connect to you or relate to you, and your relationships will be left unfinished, unwhole, unsatisfying. But when you do, as you said...
Incomplete.
Incomplete, yes. When you lay it all out and you go, this is what I am. Like, I started doing this thing with my husband recently, which is like, I have to tell you something that I'm feeling right now. And that's new for me. It is new for me to go, I don't need you to answer this. I don't need you to solve this. I don't need to talk about it. I'm just going to tell you what I'm feeling. And he is so excited by it. Because if you've met Jose, he's a gentle... very soulful man and loves that he's watching me slowly become more entered into this relationship. But it is challenging for me, even though I, back to our topic, very openly can reveal things to hundreds of people in a crowd. Sitting one-on-one with somebody that I'm very, very close to is probably the hardest. So I think it serves me because I do think it makes inevitably... you know, an enmeshment healthier rather than surface or performative.
I don't think I'm particularly good at being vulnerable with people that I'm very close to sometimes. Certain people I can, but it takes an immense level of trust for me because I can live in a place of being afraid. It makes me controlling. Like, what were you saying? You have to know how deep the water is? And I'll be like, I will get a ruler. I'm going to test the water. I'm going to research other waters like it.
Check the pH balance.
Correct. I'm going to think of three different possible outcomes for each kind of water and what I would do in each event. Like, the planning of every conversation, like, every time that I'm going to be like, well, if I say this, it could be this reaction. What would I do then? Like, it's very hard for me. But what, as far as serving me, the way I feel is when I do, like, am able to just and share something deep and scary, and I survive it, it gives me more courage for the next time. And that's a lot to still be learning at my age.
But at least you're still learning.
Exactly.
It's the thing, right? The second we stop learning, we're dying. We're nothing's happening new. I mean, the growth between just the four of these people sitting on this stage over the last 10, I mean, how long have we, 15?
About 10 years,
like,
yeah.
A long time. Yeah. We've been through some shit. Mm-hmm. We've seen each other up and down. We've knocked each other up and down. We've helped each other up and down. We've done all these things, but... we have gotten to a place, and I'm lacking in it because that's what I miss so much is my supernatural community. Mm-hmm. That this is our vulnerable circle. We can be vulnerable here, even if it's embarrassing sometimes. Even if they get to see some of it, and then we're having it in the green room, like it's important that we're this vulnerable with each other. It translates into our art when we're with each other on a screen and so on and so forth. I could talk to these ladies forever, but I have to stop.
we need to stop because we need to go. So we're just going to say a quick, I love you, Matt Cohen.
I love you, Kim Rhodes.
I love you, Sam Smith.
I love you.
And I love you, Brianna Buckmaster.
I love you, Kim Rhodes. Yay. And I love you all. Thank you so much, you two, for joining us in that conversation. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.